This is the Blind Geek Zone. Blind Geek Zone podcast number 53 for April 27th, 2012. Good afternoon. This is Rick Harmon, and I am back with another Blind Geek Zone podcast. Today, we're going to talk about computers, specifically the new computer that I just built earlier this year. And I've been running it through its paces here for the last 2 months or so. And finally decided it was time to talk about it. And I've been wanting to build a new computer here for, at least a year now. The other Windows 7 box that I'm using is 5 years old now. It's a Intel Core 2 Duo 2.66 gigahertz machine with 4 gigs of memory and a couple different hard drives in it, running Windows 7 32-bit. The new machine, I wanted to make sure that it would be something that would run Windows 8 really well. One of the things I've wanted to do for quite a while now, except the cost was kind of prohibitive, and that is now starting to drop quite a bit, is get a SSD drive for the system. That is a solid state hard disk. Doesn't have any rotating parts in it like a standard hard drive that you may be familiar with. This is all just memory inside the unit, no moving parts. And I'll talk a bit more about that later. So in February, I went out to Newegg and started looking around to see what kind of system I wanted, and I decided to go back to a small system, and I picked a company by the name of Shuttle. I've used their products in the past. I used to have a Shuttle PC that I put together back in 2003. Initially had a Intel P4 2 gigahertz processor in it, and I think 512 mega memory. That machine was just refurbed. It's still running upstairs. My mom has been using it for the last several years, and we just refurbished that machine, put a 2.66 gigahertz P4 in it. I know that's an old processor, but you know, the machine does still work decently well for the kind of things that she likes to do with it. And got a gig of RAM in it, and put a better hard drive in it and all that stuff, and clean it up and put Windows back on it again. But anyways, I decided that I would give Shuttle a chance again. I've had very little problems out of that system, and decided to see what they had to offer these days after the last two systems I built were full-size desktops. The Shuttle is a bare-bones kit. It's a very small machine. It's about the size of a toaster. And doesn't have a whole lot of room for a ton of components in it, but I'll give you the description. Like I said, it's a bare-bones case. It runs about $250 on Newegg. It is capable of running the latest Intel processors. Well, almost the latest. I don't know if it can run the newest Ivy Bridge processors. This is currently running what they call the Sandy Bridge i5, Intel i5 processor. This is capable of running the i3, the i5, and the i7 series of Intel processors, and it has SATA 2 and SATA 3 ports inside, two ports for each set, so you can hook up to four drives internally, even though storage doesn't give you that much room exactly. It has, it supports built-in video through the Intel i5, i3, i7 processors that have onboard video. This particular one has the Intel HD video on it. It also has two slots inside for a couple different cards that you can put in it. You know, PCI Express. One of them, I believe, is a video for video, if you wanted to use external video and not use the Intel-based video on the processor. Some of the other things that the system offers is USB 2 and USB 3. It offers eSATA on the front and on the back, So you can hook up eSATA drives externally, adding more storage to the device, and that's kind of what I've done here. Has onboard Realtek audio, which works very well. I was pleasantly surprised at how well it sounded. I've heard other Realtek audios on some other systems and wasn't really impressed, but the Shuttles does work quite well, actually. We have Ethernet, 100, 10, 100, 1,000 megabits. I'm trying to think of everything else we have. Of course, we have DVI video out. We also have HDMI video as well. And what else? We got USB 2s and 3s on the front and on the back. There's two USB 2s on the front, a USB 3/eSATA on the front. You got your audio on the front as well. Your mic and headphone jacks. Have those on the back as well, plus, surround audio. And I think that's about it. Switch over here to the internet, give you a couple of descriptions of things. And we'll just let this give us some of the description here of the Shuttle SH67H3 bare bones system.
Heading level 3, your best choice for digital home entertainment. Shuttle is proud to present you the new XPC SH67H3. The system is powered by the latest Intel registered H67 Express chipset featuring all second generation Intel registered Core trademark i7/i5/i3 processors to enhance better performance while being energy saving. The chassis continues the essence within the XPC family with brushed on details and cutting edge black aluminum design that copes with the XPC collection. The SH67H3 accommodates DDR3, USB 3.0 and SATA 3/6 Gbps with expansion slots of two 3.5 drives and one 5.25 driver inside. Additional graphics performance is provided by the PC PCIe X16 and mini PCIe ports, which can be used for various applications such as WLAN module. Enjoy the high definition playback of HD content with both HDMI and DVI connections. SH67H3 is designed to maximize your home entertainment experience. SH67H3 consists integrated cooling engine 2i.c.e2 heat pipe technology to prevent heat damage and deliver some of the quietest computers in the world. This technology traps CPU heat and through passive convection passes that heat to conductors to the rear. SH67H3 brings you the most stable and most optimal useful life. Heading level 3, Intel registered H67 Express chipset features to support all second generation Intel Core i3/i5/i7 processors with LGA 1155 to enhance the performance of the built-in GPU. Intel registered H67 includes DisplayPort, HDMI 1.4, dual monitor support, and DVI to provide a smart and stunning visual experience. The feature of SATA 3/6 Gbps offers the latest generation of storage interface for ideal data access. With the support of Intel registered rapid storage technology speeds up data access in digital media and data files. Heading level 3, Intel registered rapid storage technology provides the high capacity and high performance with RAID 0, 5 and 10 and also the most effective data protection to recover a hard drive failure with RAID 1, 5 and 10. The two sets of eSATA and two sets of SATA 2 enable the full SATA interface speed outside the chassis up to 3 GB/s. In addition, SH67H3 maintain a high-speed storage interface with built-in 4 USB 3.0, 7 USB 2.0 and SATA 3/6 Gbps for optimal data access. Heading level 3 integrated cooling engine 2i.c.e.2 heat pipe technology. The technology allows heat from the CPU, the system's hottest component, transfers into a heatsink. The heat travels up a series of pipes and into an array of radiator fins screwed into the back of the chassis. A single whisper quiet fan mounted just behind this blows air through the fins, thus carrying the heat outside and away from the system. The SH67H3 XPC uses this patented cooling technology to provide the most stable and most optimal useful life. Heading level 3, supporting dual slot graphics cards with a space efficient design. The SH67H3 is as roomy as it gets. Not only its space saving, but also it maximizes the need for high end users and markets. The designs for dual slot graphic cards provide the users a faster and smarter performance. Heading level 3, high definition multimedia interface provides HDMI, DVI, and dual independent display with full 1080p support to deliver the stunning full HD and 3D graphics for high-end users. Heading level 3, 80 plus bronze certification. The 80 plus registered performance specification requires power supplies and computers and servers to be 80% or greater energy efficient. This makes an 80 plus certified power supply up to 33% more efficient than current power supplies. 300W efficiency and energy saving power supply of SH67H3 is guaranteed by 80 plus bronze certification. Shuttle Global SH67H3 frame end same page top.
Alright, we'll stop that. Just from the Shuttle website itself, talking about some of the specifications of the machine. A couple of the interesting things about this machine is, like I said, it's so small, you would expect it to run pretty warm, but it uses a heatsink with like a liquid cooling technology where you've probably heard some other these high-speed computers that people have used water cooling to keep them cool. This uses the same kind of technology, except it's totally sealed up, and it's excuse me, it's been used for all of their machines. Even the machine I had back in 2003 had this technology that the heat sink transfers the heat up through these pipes. There's, I think, three of them, and then it goes to a radiator on the back of the PC, and then the fan blows the excess heat out through there. It's very quiet because you don't have a fan on the CPU, and you're not blowing air inside the case. So I've monitored temperatures on this, and my CPU temperatures are typically around 100 degrees Fahrenheit while it's working, just under 40 C Celsius. And surprisingly, like I said, it's very, very quiet, very cool running. This is one of the nice things for a blind person, you know, wanting to put together a PC. The Shuttle offers some nice features for us to do this. Like I said, it's a bare bones, so when you get it, you know, you get the case. Power supply is already mounted. All you have to do is put your memory in it, the CPU in it, and your drives. So it's easy to hook up. You don't have to worry about the front panel wiring it. The heatsink is easier to install than it is on most other systems. There's just four screws that hold it down onto the processor, so you don't have to worry about clips and all kinds of stuff and getting that right. So, you know, to me, it kind of, you know, I had some help doing it, but, you know, a blind person definitely could put this system together by themselves. I believe that, you know, has experience, you know, working on the inside of PCs and building PCs, things like that. One of the neat things I found out about the 1155-pin Intel CPUs over the 775-pin that my older machine uses and the prior generations is that the older generations, you know, had all these pins, and those pins were easy to break or bend, thus ruining the CPU. The 1155 that I got doesn't have pins, so again, kind of easier for a blind person to do. You just line the chip up properly to the socket and it sets down inside of it. You don't have to worry about pins. It just, it has contacts on the bottom, you know, 1155 little contacts on the bottom of the CPU, and goes down into the socket and latches down, and get your heatsink compound on it, screw the heatsink back down on it, and you're ready to go. A lot less perils there than there have been in the past. Like I said, those pins are extremely easy to bend or break. If you don't get something lined up just right, you can ruin your day real quick. Okay, the machine has four slots for memory. It takes DDR3 memory, 1333 megahertz, and I think it even will take up to the 1666 megahertz, but that was quite a bit more money. It recommends using low-profile memory, and that's what I got for it. Let's see here.
Newegg.com Kingston 4GB 240-pin DDR3 SDRAM DDR3 1333 PC 310600 desktop memory model KVR 1333D3N9/4G.
And that's what I got from Newegg. It's the Kingston memory for it. It's low-profile. That means it's not as high. The memory modules aren't as tall. And I went ahead and went with those just because that's what Shuttle recommended for it. And there's four slots for that, so you can go up to 32 gigs. You can use eight gig modules. What I did here is I've got two fours, so I'm using 8 gig, and running Windows 7 Ultimate here, 64-bit. As far as storage, like I said, uses SATA 2s and SATA 3 drives. And I went ahead and got a SSD drive. I looked around quite a bit for the right one to get, and went with one of the newer SATA 3 capable SSD drives that does the 6 gigabits. And it's definitely fast, I'll tell you that. And it is, let's see here.
Shuttle XP's Newegg.com Corsair 4 Series GTC SSD F90GB GTBK 2.5 90GB SATA 3 internal solid state drive SSD.
It's a Corsair 90 gig SSD. I ended up getting it at the time for $130. And I think those have come down a bit. I seen Intel's offering a 120 gig drive now for about that price. So prices are definitely continuing to drop. And we got a little flash player thing here I'll play for the talking about the Corsair drives. Yeah, we'll listen to Corsair's little blurb here about their SSD drives.
Enter.
Hi, Jeff here with Corsair. Solid-state drives are the biggest revolution in storage technology in years, and the 4 Series GT is the fastest SSD we make. It pushes the limits of the latest SATA 3 systems, and you'll want it if you're building an ultra-high-performance PC. Your system will boot up a lot faster, apps and games will load in an instant, and you'll earn bragging rights for your PC's performance. To get the fastest SSD that Corsair makes, pick the 4 Series GT.
And their little blurb there talking about SSDs. Boy, the thing is fast, I'll tell you that much. The system, like I said, Windows 7, Ultimate 64-bit, 8 gigs of memory. That's installed on the SSD drive. All my programs are installed on the SSD drive. All of my data, stuff like that, is installed on a 3.5-inch drive in the system. It's a Western Digital, I think it's 750 gigabyte drive, and it's not brand new, it's a little over a year old, but I put all my storage on that. I also have an external drive hooked up through USB right now. That gives me another 500 gig drive there, since internally you have a 5.25 bay, which I have a DVD burner, 24x burner in it. That's a SATA 2 drive. And then we get the 3.5-inch bay, which holds my Western Digital drive. And then we have a 2.5-inch bay, which holds my SSD drive, the 90-gig Corsair drive. Very, very fast. The system boots up in about 17 seconds under Windows 7. That's all the ways up with JAWS speaking at the desktop. And It's really, really fast, and I definitely like it a lot. If you're putting together a system, you might want to consider that for your operating system drive. And then, like I said, have a standard larger drive for all of your data. And like I said, this machine's capable of running Windows 8. I have Windows 8 Consumer Preview on here as a dual boot. Comes up into Windows 7 normally, and I can dual boot into Windows 8. I've looked at that a little bit. I haven't gotten real far with it yet, just because the screen readers really aren't, you know, totally supportive of everything yet, but they're getting there. I want to start looking at that when the release candidate comes out. I understand the daily release versions of NVDA are able to work with the Metro apps on Windows 8 now, so that'll be really, really great to see some of that stuff happening. And like I said, wanted to make sure I had a computer that was capable of doing things like that. And it cost me, minus Windows and the Western Digital drive, which I already had, the bare bones case cost me $269. That's come down. I think I seen it for $249. The SSD, like I said, was $130. It was on sale. I've seen Intel's now 120 gigs for about that price now, so those have definitely come down. Memory's cheap. The two memory modules were $21.99 a piece, and so, you know, that's real cheap. The DVD burner was real cheap. It was under $20, and I think all in all, I have about $720 or $730 into it. So, not the cheapest build, but you know, definitely runs really, really well. It's an i5. It's the 2500. Oh, what's the letter after it? I think it's a K. It's the unlocked version. It's a 3.3 gigahertz Intel i5 quad core, and it's capable of using what it calls Turbo Boost, running up to 3.7 or 8. gigahertz, and I don't know exactly how that part of it works. It's really, like I said, really, really fast. Let's look at something else here.
Menu, search box, edit.
This is Windows 7.
S, system access. Create a system access mode, system conf, system information. System restore. Control panel 40, system.
Yeah, we'll go into system.
Enter,
here.
Leaving menus, system, Windows Experience Index link.
And we'll go into
Windows Experience Index link.
The Windows Experience Index link. This has been available on Vista and Windows 7 to kind of get an idea of how quick your machine is. Let's go in here.
Enter, performance information and tools. What do these numbers mean? Link.
And let me
tab, view and print detailed performance and system information link.
Yeah, let me go in here.
Space. Performance information and tools. Print this page, but performance.
This gives you a better readout of this table, which gives the results of the test. Like I said, it goes from 1.0 to 7.9. It rates your CPU, your video, your storage, and your RAM.
More details about my computer.
Let's see here. Go.
Performance information and tools. No headings. More details about my computer. Print this page button. Blank. Table with 4 columns and 7 rows. Component. Details. Subscore. Base score, processor, Intel R-Core TMI5-2500K CPU at 3.30 GHz.
Yeah, 2500K, 3.30 GHz.
7.5.
And that gives me a 7.5 out of 7.9.
5.3, determined by lowest subscore.
And that's our graphics.
Blank, memory RAM.
That was the overall score, 5.3 given, and it gives the overall rating of the lowest lowest score on the device and on this system. That's video.
8.00 GB. Memory RAM.
And here's RAM.
8.00 GB.
You have 8 gig.
7.6.
We got a 7.6 on that rating out of 7.9.
Blank. Graphics. Intel RHD Graphics 3000. 5.3.
And this gives us a 5.3, which is the lowest rating. And that's to be expected. It's a, you know, it's CPU-based graphics, you know, on the CPU driving everything, and that's not going to be as fast, obviously. I guess the Ivy Bridge processors have much better onboard graphics on the CPU, and this just continues to get better and better, but that gave us a 5.3.
Blank, gaming graphics, 1696 MB total available graphics memory.
And we're using 1693 megs, I guess, of shared memory for video.
6.0.
And that gave us a 6.0 for gaming, which, you know, not bad, not shabby. You know, if you're a sighted person into gaming, that's not shabby, especially for just, you know, onboard video.
Blank. Primary hard disk. 50 GB free, 84 GB total.
And then there's the SSD drive. And like I said, it's 90 gig. You know, once you play around and format and everything, you're down to 84 gig. And right now it's got about 50 gig free on it.
7.7.
Yeah, we get a 7.7 there.
Blank. Windows 7 Ultimate End. Table End.
And,
Blank. System. Separator. Blank. Table with 3. Blank. Manufacturer. Shuttle. Blank. Model. SH67H3.
A little bit more information here. It gives you about your system.
Blank. Total amount of system memory. 8.00 GB RAM. Blank. System type. 64-bit operating system. Blank. Number of processor cores. 4. Table End. Blank. Storage. Separator. Blank. Table with 3 columns and 7 rows. Blank. Total size of hard disk S. 1248 GB. Blank. Disk partition C. 50 GB free, 84 GB total.
And there's our SSD drive.
Blank. Media drive D. CD/DVD.
There's our DVD drive.
Blank. Disk partition E. 95 GB free, 117 GB
and
total.
And then we got some partitions here.
Blank. Disk partition F. 72 GB free. Blank. Disk partition G, 119 GB free, 200 blank. Disk partition H.
And then there's our external drive.
59 GB free, 466 GB total.
Yeah.
Table end, blank. Graphics, separator, blank. Table with 3 columns and 8 rows, blank. Display adapter type, Intel RHD Graphics 3000, blank. Total available graphics memory, 1696
MB. 1696
MB
available, and that's, that's shared with system memory.
Blank. Dedicated graphics memory. 64 MB. Blank. Dedicated system memory. 0 MB. Blank. Shared system memory. 1632 MB.
Yeah, okay. So, you got 64 dedicated, and the rest comes from the system.
Blank. Display adapter driver version. 8.15.10.2653. Blank. Primary monitor resolution. 1024x768.
Yeah, and I've had to turn that down. Actually, the native resolution on this screen I'm using is like 1600 by 960 or something. That's a widescreen monitor. But JAWS wasn't always happy with that, so I had to play around with it and scale that back.
Blank. DirectX version. DirectX 10. Table end. Blank. Network. Separator. Blank. Blank.
Then you get all kinds of information in here.
Network adapter. Realtek PCIe GPE family controller.
It has a Realtek network adapter built in.
Blank. Blank. Print this page button.
And that's it. And you can run that on your system to see how yours compares and get some interesting results there. My older system actually doesn't do too bad. It gets some ratings in the 6.0 range on it. Maybe a little better in some cases, a little worse on video. And so, you know, if you're really wanting to put together a system, you might want to consider the shuttles if you're blind. As I said, you know, with the bare bones system, it comes, you don't have to worry about wiring the front panel. The CPU is easier to deal with the way its heatsink design is. You only have four screws to worry about instead of getting it clipped on right and hoping it's clamped down properly and making good connection. Power supplies built in. 300 watts is a little low, but you know, I've tried to do some calculations here, you know, guessing what, you know, all the components would use. You know, the CPU uses a maximum of 95 watts if it's running at 100% on all cores, which, you know, that's hardly ever going to happen. The drives are a couple watts a piece. You probably figure the motherboard's another probably maybe 60 to 90 watts. I don't know, just making a guess. But I figure between everything, the system's never drawing more than probably 180 to 200 watts, and that would be a very, very worst case. So even though the supply is a little bit lower than what I would typically like, I'd like to recommend like a 500-watt supply or bigger. For this particular system, I think it will do just fine, since you can't put a lot of stuff in it. And if you was going to put dual video cards in it, then, you know, I would really worry. But as I have it running, it's not a concern. I don't think it's ever going to get taxed too much. And so that's what I've been doing there as far as putting a system together in the last couple of months. Some of the other things I've been doing are just keeping busy with clients and stuff. It's been keeping me really busy. I haven't had a lot of time to do anything with the website. We're still in the process of trying to get the website transferred. My friend that helps me with all of this is really busy, and he's been working overtime and a half, and I just haven't got a chance to move this. But we're still trying to get this switched over to DreamHost, and that's kind of stopped me from putting some things. I don't want to put too much stuff up on the website, you know, that's just going to have to turn around and be moved to the other. But I do want to continue putting podcasts up here. I know people have been wondering when the next podcast was going to go up. It hasn't been since January 16th, and it's now April 27th. So I definitely wanted to get something done today. I've got a couple other podcasts in mind, and I want to get recorded as time permits and get those up to the website as well. But, you know, just wanted to check in with everybody and get something up here. Had a couple donations in January. Want to thank people for those. It's always great to get those from you. If you have a comment or something you'd like to hear on the podcast, you can call 330-203-1244. And that's my Google Voice. And you can leave a message there, and I'll be sure to see that. Please don't dump dozens and dozens of messages on there, please, because I try to use that for business's purpose as well. And a few people have kind of abused it and sent me tons and tons of messages. If you do that, I'll have to block you. I hate to do that, but, you know, it gets really, really difficult when you've got people leaving, you know, tons and tons of messages to sort those out from the business client messages as well. So just keep that in mind, but, you know, feel free to send me a comment up there, and you know, I'll definitely listen to it. And if it's something I can do, I'll certainly do that for you. I've had a few people in the past want to hear a few things, and some of them I just really haven't been able to do, but needless to say, I've heard your comments and definitely do appreciate them. And like I said, got a few donations in January. Appreciate those very much, too. If you like the website, you like the podcasts, and you want to give a few bucks, feel free to do so. You can do that through the website and the donations link. And if you'd like training, you need some help on something, I offer training and support starting at $15 an hour. And if you mention that you heard it on the BGZ podcast, I'll give you 10% off. So you might want to think of that. If you want some help with some stuff, or you just want some training on some things, I'm more than happy to do that with you. So again, you could call 330-203-1244 for that as well, or contact me through the website. Okay, well, that about wraps this up, and hope you've enjoyed it. Thanks for listening, and hopefully I'll have something again for you very soon. If you want to see what I'm doing on a day-to-day basis, you can catch me over on Twitter. I do stuff all the time on Twitter, and I tend to put short little audio things up from time to time that I don't put here on Blind Geek Zone. So if you're wanting to catch me, you can go through the main page of the website, and you'll find my Twitter address down there. It's www.twitter.com/RicksterTheGeek, RicksterTheGeek. And you can follow me there and see what I'm up to on a day-to-day basis. Listen to me rant and rave about things and talk about personal stuff and things that I don't necessarily talk about here on the BGZ podcast. If you want to know a little bit more that's going on and keep up with me there. There's also one you can follow for BGZ. That's www.twitter.com/BlindGeekZone. I don't use that one as much, usually just when I update the website and things like that. So you can follow that as well if you just want to see when things have been posted to the website. And if you'd like to send me a comment by email, you can always do that as well. And you can send that to rharmon, R-H-A-R-M-O-N, at blind-geek-zone.net. And I'll get those as well. And if you want to find any of these contacts, again, you can find them on the website. The Twitter stuff's on the front page. And if you go to the contact link, you can find the email address and stuff. So, okay, we will catch you next time. Thanks for listening.